For as long as I can remember, I've seen many horror videos where the most terrifying Uber driver stalks, looking for victims to kill. Everyone has a story with an Uber. But you know what? I have more stories than you do. You see, I'm not the passenger. I'm the Uber driver. I understand that it may seem a little scary to get into a stranger's car, but Uber notifies passengers of all my information and the number of rides I've taken. On the other hand, imagine how scary it is to have not just one stranger, but dozens of strangers get into your car every day. And you know what is worse than that? When that stranger inside the car is not a passenger or a human. This happened on a Sunday night. I had finished making all the trips for the night and was ready to go home, so I turned off the app before finishing the last trip. When I dropped the girl off at her house, I took the Avenue Road to get home quickly. The Avenue used to be the fastest way, but there was always a lot of traffic. Luckily, at this time of the morning, it was completely empty. I continued driving home. I may have become confident in the fact that the Avenue was empty, so calmness took over my body and I started to fall asleep. Working at this time is usually pretty good if you are an Uber driver. Sundays are usually very busy as many people visit their families and come back at night. I was trying hard not to fall asleep until suddenly something forced me to wake up. A girl was in the middle of the Avenue. I reacted as fast as I could to swerve to avoid her, but I couldn't do it in time. I was sure I had hit her, but something very strange was happening. I didn't feel the impact of the body in the car. I didn't hear the girl or her body falling on the road either. Could it be that she had dodged me in time? But that was impossible. No one could move that fast. I braked the car as fast as I could as I got out to inspect if the girl was hurt, but nothing. The Avenue was totally empty. I looked under the car and found no one either. There was no girl, no person, nothing. It was as if the girl had never been here. Confused and considering that maybe it was all because I had fallen asleep, I got into the car, ready to go to sleep and never come back to work so late. I started the car again and began to drive. A few meters later, I came to a red light. There would be nothing wrong with driving. The Avenue was empty, but I wanted to respect the rules. I had already had too big a scare with the little girl. Suddenly, I felt that something was wrong, like a cold going through my spine. I felt I had to look in the rearview mirror, but if I did, I would surely regret it. Against my better judgment, I decided to appeal to logic and look in the driver's door mirror. What was the worst that could happen? Maybe I would run into the girl on the road. I thought that would be strange for sure, but at least I would know that she was alive and maybe lost. I gathered all my courage and looked into the rearview mirror. But not to my surprise, there was no one there. Just an empty avenue. I took a breath, now much calmer, when I saw how the traffic light was still red. The strange thing is that I still felt that strange feeling of terror in my back. At that moment, the corner of my eye drifted almost reflexively to the mirror in the center of the car. And when I saw what was in the passenger seat, I gave a dry scream. In the passenger seat, which had not opened and all the windows were closed, I saw the girl from the road. She was in a schoolgirl uniform. Her hair was very long and covered half of her face. I could only see one of her two eyes, but that was enough to freeze me with fear in a way nothing else ever had. Her gaze was piercing, cold, and terrifying. She wasn't looking at me angrily, but her eye was as wide open as physically possible. I turned around quickly, but the same thing I had seen in the mirror, I could not see with my eyes. Behind me, there was no one. I looked in the rearview mirror again, and the girl was still there, staring at me in the same position. This didn't make any sense at all. I turned around and in confusion. The girl was behind me. She was slowly coming towards me. I tried to open my car door to escape, but suddenly it was locked. I had never locked it before. It didn't make any sense. I tried to roll down the car windows, but they were locked. I grabbed my keys and unlocked the door as fast as I could. As I did so, I looked back. The girl was gone. But I wasn't going to stay in that car for one more second. As soon as I got out, I started running home. I ran and ran as fast as I could. Minutes passed, and I was still running. My house was almost 5 kilometers away from where I was, but I ran all of them without considering sitting down to rest even for a second. I got into my house and went straight to bed. With all the lights on and the TV on, I started crying. From that day on, nothing was the same. For the first weeks, nothing happened. I even allowed myself to try to forget what had happened, but I couldn't help but feel that something was wrong. I sent a tow truck to pick up my car, which I sold for a ridiculously low price in a very short time. But I'm afraid it wasn't the car that was the problem. Every night I wake up at the same time, the time I almost ran over that little girl. When I do, I feel like I'm not alone in the house. It is as if someone or something is watching me in the dark. Even when I leave the lights on, when I wake up, they are off. I tried sleeping at a friend's house or with someone at my house, but nothing changed. I feel that one of these days, whatever is chasing me will catch me, and I can do absolutely nothing to avoid it.
Being an Uber driver, I've heard a lot of terrifying stories from fellow Uber drivers. However, I'm a practical man. I know sometimes your mind can play tricks on you, and you can see or feel things that are not real, but are just a fragment of your imagination. Until that fateful day. It was a regular night in Seattle. The weather was dull as usual, rainy, damp, and cold. I usually prefer to drive my Uber at night, as the fare was good and there was less traffic on the road. I live close to a famous club in the city, so most of the time my first clients are the drunk youngsters getting out of the club. It's truly disappointing to see so many capable young people waste their lives on drugs and alcohol every night. But what can I say? I was the same when I was their age. Otherwise, I wouldn't be stuck driving an Uber. Nevertheless, it's for the best that it's me dropping off these youngsters at home instead of some random driver who can either rob them or take advantage of them. Believe me when I tell you I sleep better knowing a drunk and unconscious girl is safe at her home because I dropped her off with her other friends. This day was like no other. I got a notification on my Uber driver's app that I had to pick up a passenger from the club. I backed my car out of my front yard and drove to the club. Right in front of the club, on the sidewalk, was a group of people. From their clothes and the way they carried themselves, I could easily tell all of them were corporate employees. It was a group of like 15 people. All the people were hugging and bidding farewell to a girl among them. She was slender, brunette, wore a pantsuit, and looked the most elegant amongst them all. She, too, was talking to all of them and hugging them. I watched the show for a few minutes and then honked my car's horn to let my passengers know that I was there to pick them up. Somehow, I knew it was one of them. To my surprise, hearing my car's horn, the brunette turned and started walking towards me. She got into the back seat, put her handbag beside her, fastened her seatbelt, and told me the OTP code when I asked her for it. It would take me almost an hour to drop her at her address, navigating the night traffic. She did not seem drunk. Usually, it's my observation that whenever I give a ride to young people, if they aren't drunk or hungover, they prefer to bury their noses in their cell phones. Social media has everyone's attention these days. But not this girl. She was staring out of the window at all the vehicles passing by and the faint raindrops falling on the window. I prefer not to have a conversation with my passengers. I prefer the quiet and the road, rather than having small talk with different people every 20 minutes. But this girl surprised me and spoke first.
"Do you ever think about death?"
she asked. An absurd question for such a young woman to ask, but being my age, you do think about death once in a while. So I answered her honestly. I do. Sometimes.
It must be nice being this old,
she said, and then chuckled. Hardly. Your joints hurt. You can't move fast. You can't eat without your digestion cycle messing up. The list goes on.
It's so nice you get to experience all of that.
That statement from her kind of surprised me. I mean, who wants to be old, right? You think being old is nice. Having noisy joints and the need to still work at this age is nice?
At least you got to experience life for that long. Some of us aren't that lucky, you know.
She said, resting her head on the glass. Why would you say that? Now I was confused.
My colleagues were throwing me a going-away party there in the club. I quit my current job. I told them I was going to Germany because I accepted a better position there, when, in reality, I have no job offer in Germany. The truth is that I'm dying. Stage 4 blood cancer. There's no cure. Treatment can make me lose a year at most, but honestly, I feel like I have a few weeks. A couple of months if I'm lucky. I quit the job because I'll die soon. I have no family. I'm an orphan. And no husband or boyfriend either. My only family was those people whom I worked with in the office every day. And now I have said goodbye to them all as well. I don't want to burden any of them with my sickness. It's better to just go alone. But I envy you. I really wish I could live long enough to experience the joint pain and the sleepless nights and the crying and laughter of my grandkids. You really are lucky.
I was stunned, to say the least. I was not expecting such deep words to come from the young woman in the back seat. She kept on talking for a while, told me some memories from the foster home she grew up in, and then some from her college. She told me about her dreams and her fears. All I did was patiently listen as I drove the car. Tears were rolling down her cheeks as she spoke. We were approaching her destination, and I felt deeply sad for her. All the things we take for granted. Suddenly, she made me stop the car in front of a small ice cream shop.
Will you have a cup of ice cream with me?
She asked with watery eyes. I could not say no. Sure. We silently had a scoop of ice cream each, and then she got into the car. I started driving, and we were only a mile away from her home. And the road was comparatively deserted as she lived on the outskirts of the city. For the rest of the ride, she reached out her hand partially out of the window and made waves with her palm. Then, while leaving, she paid me with cash and said the most heartbreaking thing ever.
Thanks for having the ice cream with me. I didn't want to have it alone, as I have no one left in the world.
I could not hold back my own tears as I drove away. For that night, I did not take any more passengers. I returned home and cried a bit. A few months passed, and I had totally forgotten about the woman. I was driving back into the city and passed in front of the ice cream shop. I thought I should stop and have a scoop of ice cream there. It was an intense feeling. The moment I stepped into the ice cream parlor, got a scoop, and walked towards one of the tables, my eyes landed on the woman sitting at the back table. She was the same girl who I dropped off all those months ago. I walked towards her and she instantly recognized me.
Oh, it's you again. It's nice to have company while eating ice cream, you know.
I nodded and stared at her. She seemed much happier and more cheerful than before. I wanted to ask her if she was okay, how her treatments were going, but I just sat quietly and ate ice cream. She spoke about the weather and other such miscellaneous things. I just listened while she spoke. Later, when I went to pay for the ice cream, I told the boy to add the woman's bill to mine as well. That's when he looked at me funny and asked me, "Which girl?" I turned to look at the back table to find it empty. There was no girl there. I asked the boy at the counter if he saw the girl there sitting with me. When he told me I was sitting on the back table all alone. like this shocked me, and I paid for the ice cream and left. Later that night, when I was thinking about my second encounter with the woman, I think it was her soul's way of visiting me one last time. I was scared, but also content to know that wherever the woman's soul was, it seemed happy.